Blog Talk Radio.
Calls to 911 that are not emergencies are wasting the time of dispatchers with crazy requests.
The I-teams discovered these calls happen all the time, and you paid for it.
Courtney Garish is here with outrageous costs of 911 abuse. Courtney.
Yeah, Carol and Mike, when you need help fast, you dial 911. But what if you had to wait because rescue workers are dealing with bogus calls? That's just part of the price of 911 pranks.
He had this burning sensation in his chest.
A cold and snowy December day.
I thought it was just heartburn.
It's a day Trish Fry will never forget.
Oh my God, his face was, he was so pale, and he was basically shaking.
Her husband had a heart attack.
I immediately picked up the phone and dialed 911.
Some people go their entire life never having to call 911.
911, what is the address of your emergency?
Trish used it to save her husband's life. And then a few months later,
I had lost a lot of blood.
She used it to save her own.
I had hit the back of my chair, and it had torn open my entire surgical site.
Trish believes the quick response by 911 saved her life.
And my husband.
But what if those resources were not available? What if emergency crews were tied up by nonsense calls? Calls that end up costing you money.
There are people that take advantage of the system.
Yes, I was just driving through the lot of Kmart, and I see a lot of suspicious activity. It's about five guys in the back Kmart.
That is Aisha Jackson. According to police, the 911 call was bogus.
It's a call to take us away from her and send squads across the city and to get them away from her traffic stop.
A fake call made by Jackson to get out of a ticket. A trick police say she pulled seven times, and each time it cost you money.
$150 a call.
The I-team sat down with Captain Ron Oramus with the Waukesha Police Department to discuss this expensive issue.
That is taxpayer money going towards us going to a bogus 911 call.
So we did the math. Seven prank calls just to get out of traffic tickets adds up to $1,500 of your tax dollars. Aisha Jackson was fined more than $650, but the I-team discovered that's just the beginning.
911, what is the address of your emergency? Hello, this is Waukesha County 911. Do you have an emergency?
It's a familiar sound at the 911 dispatch center in Waukesha County.
Hi, Waukesha County. I had a 911 cell call that plotted in your area. Sounded like a pocket dial.
Dispatch sends out emergency crews to every 911 hang-up.
But you never know until you send somebody to the scene to make sure everything is okay.
It's protocol and the safe thing to do. What's not safe is this.
This is 911. What is the address?
This is not actually an emergency. I tried your non-emergency number, but nobody answered it.
Or
people asking what time the parade is.
Yet another nonsense call. The I-team crunched the numbers. Waukesha County Dispatch gets about 200 calls a day. At least two of those calls are bogus, 32 of them accidental. That's a total of 12,410 calls that cost you about $3.7 million a year. And there is more at stake than your money when it comes to these fake 911 calls.
The risk to not only the officers drive in an emergency fashion, but the community is also, you know, something we have to consider as we drive, and you know, we don't want to up those risks any more than we need to.
And by calling 911 without a real emergency, you never know who may be waiting, who desperately needs the help.
Had I not been able to dial 911, and had they not been here, I probably wouldn't be here.
So the woman charged for making those bogus 911 calls to get out of traffic tickets is actually on probation now.
Courtney, any idea how often people actually charge with these nonsense calls?
It doesn't really happen that often. You don't see charges only when it's a repeat offender, but as you saw from all those numbers, it really adds up. It's an expensive price tag.
It costs a lot. Wrong. No. Okay, thank you, Courtney.
All right, here we go. We're about to get into it. Y'all done heard the preview. You know, we're gonna get on these 911 calls.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind blue curtain.
Good morning, Facebook Live crew. They already lined up in there, getting ready to hold the sign part. Appreciate everybody joining in. We're going to get on these 911 callers today. We're going to light somebody's ass up because this is getting ridiculous. Somebody's going to get hurt behind this. I hope everybody had a good weekend. I'm glad everybody made it back. I appreciate all the support to the haters out there. I know you're all tuning in, you're listening, or if not, you're going to get the download. If you're waiting on me to do or say something wrong, but as long as it's true, you can't do nothing but hate on it. That's how we're going to do it here. If you want to call in, the number's going to be 646-716-4621, and then press 1. So I know you got a question, comment, or concern. All I see is phone numbers. I don't see names. So I'm not going to call you by name. I'll identify you by the last 4 of your phone number. If you want to say where you're calling from, that's up to you. We're going to get into it. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Behind the Blue Curtain. I'm your host, Stan Mason. For those of you that are just tuning in, kind of trying to show out, this is how we do it here. This is real in here. This is the barbershop. In here, we have real conversation on real topics. Nobody is safe. Preachers, politicians, police chiefs, professionals. In here, everybody is equal. You can be a crack addict with an Obama phone and a Wi-Fi connection in a back alley. On here, your voice is relevant. On here, we honor and we hold up those who have lived through some of the conditions we're talking about, the folks that are struggling through the things we're talking about. Your position doesn't mean anything in here. Your qualifications don't mean a whole lot in here. In here, the people who are living through the things that we're talking about, this is not a pro-black, pro-white, anti-white, anti-black, pro-police, anti-police. On here, it's real. Everybody's feelings are subject to be questioned on this show. You know, when you call up, don't worry about sounding professional or do I sound like I'm making sense. Just speak from your heart. You know, I hit this mic, and I do this every weekend. I keep some notes, some statistics, and some things I don't need notes for because I lived through it just like you guys lived through it. So, you know, we're just having a dialogue, and we're having a talk in here. And today, the hot-button issue are these nonsensical 911 calls by these idiots all across this country. Now, I'm going to put my police hat on for a minute, and once again, I'm going to put my caveat for those who didn't read or choose not to read or choose to ignore the haters and say, well, he wrote it, but he didn't say it. I do not speak for the Waco Police Department, the city of Waco, the officers, civilian employees, or citizens of Waco. Everything I say is based upon my personal and professional experience. So don't go getting twisted and running back to work with your feelings all hurt because he said this or he said that. Because like I said a couple weeks ago, notice has been served. So on here, we're going to keep it real. These 911 calls. Oh, sweet Jesus. Where do we start? First off, from the police aspect, officers across this country, when you call 911, 911 is for emergencies. It's not for your insecurity. It's not for your inconveniences. It's not for, you know, sicking the police on somebody you don't like. It's not for making up something just to get us there. When you call 911, to us, it is life-threatening. So you have officers that are driving across town 60 or 70 miles an hour. They could kill someone else. They could get in an accident and kill themselves behind some BS. That's not 911. Now, for those of you who might be a little slow or have slow friends, emergency means life or death. Somebody is hurt. Somebody is dying. Somebody is in a wreck. It's not because 2 hours ago my baby daddy hit me and left. It's not because, well, there's a suspicious guy in the neighborhood that I've never seen before. It's not because there's a car parked in front of my house on city property. On city property. You don't own the sidewalk in front of your house. At least here in Texas, you don't. These are things that tie up at least two officers. And we're not stupid. We read these calls sometimes, going to them. And yes, we have to go. And some of them we're looking at and we're going, oh, Jesus, I don't believe this. And a lot of officers are just as much a victim as some of the people in the videos because a lot of these officers are set up. They're sent out on these BS calls that we know are BS, but we have to go. Because for some reason, somebody cannot make a decision that when somebody calls 911 and says, three men just got out of a silver disc and they're cooking marshmallows in my backyard right now. Nobody can say, we don't need to go to that. So we got to go. You never know. They might put the marshmallows down and grab Earl Campbell hot links. I don't know. But this is the kind of stuff that wastes officers' time. So when the officers show up at these ridiculous calls, they have to stand there and be videoed and get made to look the scapegoat or the bad person because once they show up, we got to ask questions. And the officers get made a fool of behind some idiot that called 911 that didn't need to call 911. And this whole thing goes up on YouTube. So today, at least on here, we're going to come to some resolution. We're going to have some good topic. We're going to a good discussion. This is a hot topic. I've seen you all posting throughout the week. I mean, and some of this, I'm going to take my police hat off and I'm going to put on my citizen hat, which happens to be a black one. You know, if you're afraid of black people, make black friends, please. This nonsense of calling 911 because people are using the pool, they rent an Airbnb, they're selling lemonade, they're barbecuing, they're sleeping in the dorm room where they live at. You guys don't even need to let me, I don't need to go through the list. We've got to get some resolution to this. This is getting absolutely outrageous. And you know, somebody is going to get hurt. I'm not going to turn this into a political show, but lately, it's a lot of folks that have been getting artificially empowered that think that they own America. They put the down payment. They had America in layaway, and now they made their last payment. America wasn't sold by Rent-A-Center. It has multiple owners. But some people are pushing this empowerment to the umpteenth. And you know what? I'm going to say this. Some folks might get too. I feel sorry for some of my white friends, which I have a lot of them, and I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for them because these idiots who are picking up the phone, calling the police because of their racial insecurities, make them look bad. I can only imagine that they look at some of the stuff on Facebook and just think, oh, Jesus, God, I got to go out here now and deal with a whole week because of this idiot, on top of the mass shooters and all that headache. So, you know, there's a lot of good white people out there that are bearing a cross behind a few idiots. And you know what? And some of them, I know at least on my page, they'll light these fools up. I am a big supporter of lighting these people up. If they want to be ridiculous and they want to be on point, they want to be in the media, put them all the way in. Don't put your toe in the pool. Get neck deep. Put them out there. Because the only way this stuff is going to stop is, A, people start recording them. And I'll tell you what, people, keep your phones with you. I don't care if you're black or white. Start hitting the record button. And, you know, check with your local area to make sure it's legal for you to film the police. But I don't mind being filmed. Lord knows I'm on here enough. So being filmed doesn't bother me. You know, we're filming you all, I guarantee you, for whether the body cameras or the car cameras, we're filming you all. So turnabout is fair play. Don't put your life at risk. If you think you're going to get hurt because they're approaching you about your camera, put it up. But start videoing these people. Don't take the encounter, well, the police are going to believe me. When we get there, we don't know. We got two people standing there. I don't care if we got Billy Graham and the Pope. Neither one of them is going to be truthful with us. Both are going to tell us what they want us to know. Keep videoing. Keep putting these people on blast. Put them out there. Don't threaten them. Identify them and put them out there. Because you know what? Thank God some of these employers are waking up and saying, your ass is out of here. We're trying to sell widgets, and you messing up the program. You're gone. Hello, Miss Elevator Guard, Miss Townhouse. She's out of there. She's gone. And people say, well, you know, her husband is black, so that ain't got nothing to do with it. Period. It's got nothing to do with it. You know, just because you have a white wife or a white husband or a black wife or a black husband or a Hispanic husband or Asian, it doesn't matter. When these things happen and people's rights are being violated, put these people on blast. Because, see, that's how they learn. Now, next up on the line. Gustin, I see you, brother. I'm going to get to you in 1 second. Next up, y'all need to start talking to your city council people. And you need to start lighting their asses up and asking them, why is it that nobody wants to put an ordinance in place to where when the police go to a call and it's a foolish 911 call, it's not an emergency, that has no sense of urgency, that officer ought to write a ticket. I don't care what you make the fine, $25, $50, whatever it is the city chooses to make it. Start lighting their ass up. Just like you sit at stop signs, just like we run radar, just like we're clocking everybody, we're using the lasers, we're doing all this. Start lighting these people up. 911 is for emergencies. It has been abused. I guarantee you, if I go in the average city, I bet you there ain't 5,000 citizens in the city of Dallas right now that aren't police, that can tell me the number to the police department. And I'm talking about adults. I'm not talking about kids. When you say, what's the number to the policeman? 911. 911, my neighbor's music is too loud. 911, the dogs in the alley are barking. That kind of stuff is crazy. A couple of shows back, rather a few back, we talked about how police prioritize calls. We prioritize them. Priority one is immediate. It's life-threatening, potential of death or injury. We got to get there in a hurry. We'll pull people off of priority three calls to get them there. Okay, priority two, we got to get there as fast as we can. You know, something either just happened, there's a chance it'll get worse. Priority three, your loud music, barking dogs, all the stuff. We get to it when we get to it. Because all police departments have limited resources that are out there. And when you've got 60% of your call load that comes in is 911 calls that have to be priority one because they're 911, you're stuck. And people want to blame the dispatchers. Those dispatchers follow orders that are set by the chief. And dispatchers generally do not have the ability to say, we're not coming to that, we're not putting that call in. They have to put in every call that comes in, and we have to respond to it. So I'm going back to your city councils and your mayors and your police chiefs. Something needs to be done. And for those of you that say, well, this is all about race, it's not all about race. I'll tell you what, I don't care what color you are. Let your heart tighten up in your chest. And you go on and call 911. Because most places, the ambulance are not going to go to the police get there to make sure it's safe. That's a hard fact. Y'all don't know it, but why is it you always see a police car around the ambulance? And I don't blame some of these ambulance people. So when there are no police officers to send, because we're all out on a bunch of nonsensical 911 calls, black male walking down the street, white woman in a black neighborhood. Yes, we get those calls too. See, this is the hard talk here, chiefs. I hope you're listening. Because, you see, here we educate people, we trade stories, we teach each other, and guess what? Then we know how to put people on the griddle. Because this is empowerment. You guys can call in and weigh in and say how you feel, because until we talk up front, it's good to post on Facebook. That's all well and good. But unless these people are reading your Facebook, they're not hearing you. I can guarantee you, here, whether they comment or whether they don't, I can tell you, the folks that make decisions in this town do watch this show, or they're watching the download. And it's not because they agree with me. A lot of it has counterproductive measures as far as my safety and my health. But there are people who do watch this. They are listening. They are hearing you. And I bet you across this country, there's police chiefs listening, wondering when somebody from their city is going to call up and call them out. So, you know, you guys, we got to get vocal. We got to start stepping the game up. It's good to post the memes and it's good to do all that, but we got to come harder than that, you know, and bring it on. What's going on, Gus, up there in 804? Talk to me.
How you doing, my brother Stan? And good morning to you, and hope you had a wonderful evening. What a hot button topic it is this morning. Hey, I got. I'm gonna start off by saying, WPMYODB, and that's the acronym for white people. Mind your own damn business. They have to be held accountable for, because they don't know, or they don't understand, or they don't care that they're putting police officers, good or bad, lives in jeopardy by doing these fake 911 calls. Now, whoever they call or they're calling on, they can put their life in danger, because the police officer can come up there and get spooked and scared and anything can happen. But like you said, a police officer can be run into a 911 call and crash or kill somebody or have a heart attack or get anything. There's so much stuff. These people need to be held accountable for calling 911 for trivial stuff that could be handled otherwise. And that's where I say WPMYODB. White people, please mind your own damn business.
You know, Gus, and the thing is that they really – some people see this as, well, it's harmless. The officers aren't doing anything anyway. You know, there are folks dead today because of a bullshit 911 call. I got the dollar for the curse jar. Don't nobody panic. There are folks, officers right now, living with nightmares because they had to shoot somebody off of a bullshit dollar number two 911 call. See, this is the BS. And the citizens and officers on this issue, hit the brakes for a minute, because you're both on the same side. But the officers have no voice. They cannot say, we're not going. They cannot say, Sarge or Commander or Chief or Assistant Chief or Lieutenant, this is garbage. You just do your job. But people out here are dying. There was a brother that brought a BB gun up in Walmart up in the Midwest. I can't remember exactly where it was, but bought a BB gun. Somebody there, a chronic 911 caller, chronic fake 911 caller, made a fake 911, also walked through the front door and shot him dead. That officer wasn't wrong, and the guy wasn't wrong. The idiot with a phone was wrong, and that officer for the rest of his life has to walk around and knowing that he killed a human being over some BS. See, 911 is nothing to play with. Because generally when we're coming to something with injuries, I can tell you in this area, the fire department is coming too. So when somebody's house catches on fire and burns to the ground and you say, where was the fire department? They're over here with the police on a possible injury because somebody wanted to call 911 because they got slapped by their boyfriend 3 hours ago who has left. These are real calls. You guys don't believe me? Go to the officers in your cities and just ask them. I don't need specifics. Can you tell me some of the ridiculous 911 calls you get sent to and listen to them and let them tell you? Talk to your ambulance people about the ridiculous 911 calls that they get. Yes, we're not seeing them up all over the Internet and people aren't going to jail the whole night, but the ambulance gets these ridiculous 911 calls too. And it's costing you all and me, taxpayers, is a hot topic that city councils won't touch. Police chief's not going to touch it. They don't touch nothing until the city government tells them to touch it. And officers have to go out there and be ridiculed all over social media when they're in the right. But just like I say, with some of you fake 911 callers, you're going to meet the wrong one. You're going to roll up on that one that you wish you never met. Then you're going to need 911, and you got to hope that another 911 caller didn't steal the ambulance that you might need. Chiefs and administrators that don't want to deal with this, woo, y'all going to send the wrong officer to one of these 911 calls, and he's going to lay down some gospel, and some citizen's going to get their feelings all twisted and hurt and call down there and make a complaint. 911. Go ahead, Gus. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Yeah, I can tell you a quick story, man. I was living up in Maryland, and I hadn't been in that area that long, and I was, you know, I had multiple jobs, man. I was delivering early morning newspapers in my truck, and some of the people in the neighborhood never saw me or don't remember seeing me, or I looked different to them. And it was in Montgomery County, right outside D.C., and I'm delivering one morning. It was about 3:30, 4 o'clock, and I had a spotlight on my truck, and so I can see the mailboxes to see the number. And next thing I know, behind me, I have 4 Montgomery County police cars pull up on me, right? They didn't draw their weapons, right? Thank God, because they would have shot me. But they pulled up on me real quick, and I stopped, and they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm delivering papers. I had my light on. I gave them my driver's license, and they saw my little van was full of newspapers. And they said, you know what? Well, we got a complaint that you were shining spotlights in people's houses. I said, no, I haven't, because I'm not even going up to the houses. I'm not even walking up to nobody's property. I'm dropping them at the mailbox, which is a distance from the main house, you know, from the main houses. I'm not stupid, and this was years ago. And that made me think, like, you know what, I could have turned into something really different. Now, that stopped me from delivering papers, you know, like going up to the yard and throwing them front door of people. From then on, after that, I started dropping them at their mailboxes for everybody, man, just to avoid that. So I can see how, you know, incidents like that can become deadly, man, real quick, especially, you know, when it's dark out.
Absolutely it can, but to a lot of these callers, they don't have to worry about it. See, when you have the luxury to be able to utilize your police department as your personal attack dogs, to be able to send them out at your beck and call to anybody that you deem suspicious. Why? I've never seen them. Well, hell, I don't know everybody in the state of Texas. It's a wonder some right. folks don't run out of minutes on unlimited time.
Right.
Constantly just picking at folks, just calling. And now here's the trick, though, Gus. Now here's the sidebar. Here comes the curve. See, we immediately think white people calling the police on black people. Yes, We see a lot of that. That is what's inundating the media. That is probably the majority of the calls. But guess what? There's some black folks calling 911 on black folks. Here come experience. That's right. There's some black folks calling 911 on black folks and white folks calling 911 on white folks and Hispanic folks calling 911 on Hispanic folks. Nobody gets their cell phones out. We don't record that. We miss that. So, see, that doesn't get the airplay. I'm telling you it happens. You don't believe me? Stop a police officer in your town and ask them. You know, the foolishness that happened where you got the white grandmother with the black grandson riding down the street and somebody flags an officer down and says that might be a carjacking. See, this is the kind of stuff, and people that get hypersensitive to this show, and they say, well, you know, he'll get on the black thing. I'm sorry, I'm black. I have to view it that way. I try to be open-minded. I try to see it from everybody's perspective, but when we're talking about criminal justice and law enforcement in America, I have to look at what is the potential of it happening to me. Well, you're a police officer. There's no pee on my head. Those on Facebook, you see, I don't have police on my forehead. I'm not in a uniform right now. I'm liable. Anything that happens to anybody else out there can happen to me. I'm not saying that everybody is bad in the profession. I'm saying that it's not a few bad apples. I'm saying the apple cart is rotten. And we're working on the field. Because nobody wants to say we got to do some cleaning, some house cleaning. Same with you citizens. We ought to be lighting these folks up more than what we do. Put them on blast. And if you can identify them, I mean, I had somebody identified one of them for me, and I put it right up on my page. Idiot of the year, starring so-and-so. Put their name up there. And when these employers keep firing them, and if they don't fire them, don't shop there.
Right.
Don't shop there. If
someone
can identify
where
one of people works, don't shop there.
Right. I'll tell you what. If you do a frivolous 911 call, you should be held accountable, i.e. either get a fine or you have to pay for that call. You have to pay for that call. I don't know how they're going to do it. Right.
I'll tell you how you do it. Most officers open and close a call on that computer. Dispatch sends it. So there's a time you get it and there's a time you're off. And I'll tell you how you do it. What you do is you take, if you got two officers, most times two officers are going to a 911 call because you don't know what you got. If they go there and they spend 30 minutes, then you take whatever those officers make in 30 minutes times two, and if they had to call the fire department, include them, ambulance, include them. Whatever the cost of that service is, you write the ticket, but when it gets computed, when they get in court, let that judge tell them, woo, that call is going to cost you $1,500.
Right.
$1,500. It was only 30 minutes. Well, welcome to the world of checks and balances. No longer are taxpayers going to pay for your nonsense. The police are not your personal attack dogs. And then when we take the hit all over social media, these same folks who call us out for the nonsense are the same ones on there that are knocking the cops down. Now, y'all know, when the cops are wrong, I'm going to say they're wrong. But I'm going to tell you, because some of these 911 calls are pet peeve of mine. Ridiculous. I could be somewhere else doing something else. And if I'm not doing anything, I'm available if something happens. But this happens very frequently.
Yes. But I tell you one more thing, too. I think that if you have a certain amount of frivolous 911 calls, then you know it should move into jail time then, and that's a whole nother ball game, because you're really disrupting, you know, a policeman's duty by doing frivolous 911 calls. And it's getting crazy here too, man, because it's, you know, to me, I'm looking at how police officers, and not all of them, typically respond to frivolous 911 calls to black people. And when they respond to black indiscretions, man, they tend to act different too. Because, you know, and that opens up a whole other can of worms, man. So it needs to stop now, and it needs to stop, you know, it needs to stop, period. Because you're putting too many people's lives in danger, let alone costing the city and county or whatever municipality you're in money.
And it's costing a lot of money, too, because if you got four officers going to a frivolous call, like you said, that's definitely stopping them from going to, you know, something that they could be doing. Or quicker response to another call, man. It's crazy. And I'm tired of seeing it, too. I'm tired of
it.
And they just sit around calling, and it's typically what you see is they're calling on black folks.
Yeah, but I'm gonna come back now. Here we go. You know, why is it we can go to Baltimore, Cleveland, Houston, we can go to the blackest part of black America right now. Find me any one of these cities where the citizens went in, you got your midterm elections, and said, we want a 911 ordinance put on the bill. Put it on there. We want it on there. Ain't nobody said nothing about it. We all over Facebook talking about it.
Right.
But you could have walked in there and told your council person, I want you to go into that council meeting and you need to talk about a 911 ordinance for our city. You need to do it. The police chief can't do it. But see, that encompasses following some of these politicians. I know politics is frustrating, and I know it makes you angry, but you know what? That's how you get things done sometimes. You go in there and you start holding these city council people accountable and stop bowing to them. That's how you affect change. But we want to treat these people like good old boys and friends and long-lost cousins. These people are out there, some of them that are good are trying to look out for their constituents, but most of them are trying to move up to the next level. There should have been a 911 ordinance put on somebody's election somewhere. You got all these people running for public office for the midterms. Not one person said we need a 911 ordinance or law for the state. If elected, I'll do this when folks are dying.
Right.
Cops' careers are getting ruined. It needs to be done.
It will.
I'm gonna play another clip real quick, Gus. Tyrone, your mic is open. Whenever you want to tune in, brother, you're open. You can come on in. I'm gonna play a quick ABC News clip right quick.
It's the latest in a string of viral videos capturing what many feel is casual racism, burning up social media and grabbing outraged headlines. They all begin with a non-threatening encounter, then the escalating discomfort, and many ending with a phone call to police. Can these conflicts be avoided? Here's ABC's Lindsay Davis. When it comes to people accused of everyday racism, the internet has no mercy.
I'm being followed and harassed, that's what's up. With two white kids being with one black male.
Oh yeah,
it's
yeah.
Suspicious.
Doling out viral nicknames.
You can film all you want.
Intended to brand any perpetrator forever.
Call the police on him for having a barbecue.
Stephanie Sebi Strenthal, arrested for assaulting a black teen in a community pool.
Get out now!
Became Pool Patrol Paula. Her attorney later saying, there are two sides to every story.
Get out!
And Allison Edel, who called the police on an 8-year-old girl selling water, now known as Permit Patty.
Illegally selling water without a permit?
Edel later saying she regrets the way she handled it. And now, just this past week, Teresa Klein became Cornerstone Carolyn. When she accused a 9-year-old boy of groping her at this Brooklyn corner store. Surveillance footage would later prove her wrong, clearly showing it was the boy's backpack that accidentally grazed her. But outside of the store, she confronted the boy and his family, saying she's calling the police.
Oh, I want the cops here right now.
The boy, Jeremiah, terrified of going to jail, sobs outside the store, his mother aghast. One witness, Jason Littlejohn, immediately began filming.
Bigger goes viral.
I knew something wasn't right, and then that's when I pulled out my phone and then started recording. After that, I saw little Jeremiah crying.
Don't cry, little man.
And that was the saddest thing of my life to ever see a little kid like that crying.
After viewing the surveillance footage, the woman apologized to the boy.
But I'm sorry.
But for Littlejohn and many others, sorry is not enough.
I gave her the name.
There it is. Oh, I'm sorry. After the harsh judgment, after the kid was ostracized and victimized. Go ahead, brother.
Do you want me?
Yeah, if you had something else, go ahead, brother.
Yeah.
I saw that clip, man. To me it was disturbing. She knew that little boy. He was oblivious to what was going on. And to me, why would a little boy, you know, go up and do that anyway? And he's with his mother. You know, to me, straight up, she wanted somebody to touch her. And just wanted to make a scene. To me, you know, and now you scarred that little boy, because now he thought he was going to get shot or go to jail. And he ain't do anything wrong. She should have been prosecuted.
Well, she should have went to the mother first off and inquired and said something. See, this is the thing when we talk about protocol and how things are done, the rules, see, things change. She should have said something to the mother, and then she'd have found out it was the little boy's backpack. You know, instead of being out there in the street holding a whole big thing behind it. You know, we can go back to the Airbnb. We can go back to the dorm room. You know, we can go back to Starbucks. We can go back. So it's almost sometimes like you're in a perpetual state of, when is it my turn? And it's not limited to just black people. You can be white and homeless. You can be a white guy successful with a beard and tattoos, and you're going to get labeled a biker. You can be an attorney. Because in this country, we don't talk to people anymore. We don't communicate. We see people who fit our description of our fears. Not what's rational, not what's common sense, but whatever it is, that which we are afraid of, when somebody fits it, 911. 911. Come save me. What do you got? Well, there's two guys sitting on the hood of a car playing loud music out there. I don't know what. I think they might have guns. Yep, we get that one too. We get that one too. Why? Because, see, when you mention the G word, guns, we get there quicker. Some of the videos that you all see on Facebook where you see officers pointing guns at unarmed men, and you see the man saying, I don't have a gun, I don't have a gun, I don't have a gun, and then that officer's pointing a gun, and they go up there and search him. Then after they don't find one, everybody posting goes, see, he didn't even have a gun. No, but guess what? Let's play the audio of who called in. I wish police departments would start releasing these 911 calls. Like we release everything else, let's start releasing these. Let's start giving a chance for some of the people to hear exactly what these folks tell the dispatchers.
Right.
We get a rash of calls where people call 911 and just hang up. We get a lot of those. Because if they just hang up, it's going to get us there quicker. Because we don't know if it's a medical emergency, a hostage situation, or what. We're going to get there quicker. And for those of you with cell phones, when you do that, guess what? Sometimes we can get a good GPS location on you. Sometimes we can't. So you better leave your phone open and say something. You know, hopefully, you know, more people will listen to this, because this is just as big a pain in the ass for officers as it is for citizens. Particularly black folks. Trust me, officers are frustrated with this. 911 was an excellent idea. It was a great idea. Till America got fat and lazy and decided they're too damn lazy to dial the other four numbers. They can fire off a text message and a Facebook post, Instagram, and everything else all day long, but they can't dial the four extra numbers and wait on the dispatcher to say, so-and-so police department, can I help you? Yes, ma'am, this is what I got. And yes, they may tell you it's going to be a while. Our officers are busy. So now, why do that when they can just call 911 and hang up? Doesn't matter whatever else we're going to. Your house is broken into. You've been waiting for a while. Now we got to leave en route to that, and we got to go over here just to go there and knock on the door, and they go, well, he left now. It's a pet peeve of officers. That's one of the biggest aggravating things that officers face. Driving fast across town because we can't afford to take a guess that it's not a good 911 call. We could kill somebody. We could be involved in an accident. For what? Because somebody couldn't dial the last four and not willing to wait in line? Folks are dying. Folks are going to jail. Mm. Officers' careers are being ruined. Behind irresponsible citizens that cannot understand that 911 is for emergencies, not insecurities. If you're scared, get a dog. Get a burglar alarm. But But 911 is not your instant online 24/7 Dr. Phil. Don't call us because your porch light is burnt out. That's one of the reasons why you all can't get timely police service right now, because we're so busy doing things that are not police related. And I can understand older people. Them aside, 70, 80 years old, you know, I don't mind going and changing a porch light or just going to check on them because they're lonely. I don't mind that. I'm talking about young folks who ought to know better.
Right.
Ty, you want to go ahead and chime in here? You got your mic open. Oh, he must be away from the phone right now.
All right. But and I'll finish up.
No, go ahead, Gus.
I'll say something. The question is how do we as a citizenry respond, and there's got to be some kind of formula that we have to follow as citizens. You know, what indicates a 911 call or an emergency in the police department? It's got to be some kind of public service message, man. Now, I mean, we can say, you know, verbally that, you know, a medical emergency, somebody with a gun or whatever, but you'd be surprised how many people don't know what's a true 911 emergency. They might deem in their mind that a 911 emergency is they see somebody in their neighborhood that they never seen before. That's a 911 to certain people. That's a 911 emergency. So, you know, there's something got to be done with that. We as citizens as ourselves, we have to learn or attempt to learn, you know, what's a true 911 call, man. And I think that would cut down on a lot of those frivolous calls, too.
I agree, Gus, but I think Americans know better. We just don't act better. We're fat and we're
right.
Stupid and we're lazy. Period, point blank. That's going to offend some folks, but that's just real talk. You know, 911, we teach our kids, emergency. The ambulance is not going to come to your house just to see how you're doing or because the dogs are barking, and the police shouldn't have to do that either, not on an emergency call. Emergency means you see blood. I'll break it down. You see blood coming out. If you see a guy walking down the street with a gun, I don't have a problem with people calling 911 because we never know who this guy is or what he's going to do. If we show up and it's all good, it's all good. But barking dogs, loud music, my house was broken into 2 weeks ago, my car was stolen, the car's not there, it's gone. It's not 911. I came out and the car is gone. We need to learn how to use common sense. And if we can't see enough common sense to know when to call 911 and when not to, it's no wonder our political system is the way it is, because if folks vote like they call 911, we're exactly in the situation we deserve to be in. It's common sense. Children learn in kindergarten how to call 911. You know, Laura says that LAPD posted audios of their 911 calls up. I wish every city would do it and let folks start hearing some of this ridiculous stuff. They get a newfound respect for some of the crap officers got to go to. And I know some people just hate the police point blank, period, but it's a fact. We go to so much nonsense by fake 911 calls.
Right. That's until they need them, then they'll call them. But let me tell you again what happened here in when I lived in New Kent, which is right outside of Richmond. I had picked my daughter up from school, young. She was really young. She came home. We got inside, and I was fixing her a little snack. She said, "Daddy, my teacher said that if you give me a spanking to call 911. And I was stunned for a minute. I said, "What?" She said, "If you give me a spanking, to call 911. Well, I said, you know, and I was jokingly with her. I said, "Well, honey, she's right. Only because, you know, you call 911, the sheriff's department is coming to get me, but fire and rescue coming to get you because I'm going to give you a really good spanking, right?" And I said, "No, honey, don't call 911. Don't." My youngest daughter. I said, "Honey, don't call 911 if I give you a spanking. Well, you have to be good. You know, you got to honor your mother and father." But I was shocked that the lady actually said that. And she said, "Well," she told me, "well, Mr. Glover," because I asked her about it. She said, "Mr. Glover, that's New Kent. That's the county law that, you know." I said, "So you telling me county law states that I can't give my daughter a spanking?" There's no gray area there. You know, what if she needed a spanking? And they said, no, man, if you hit your children in the county of New Kent and it gets called in, that's an abuse charge that you can possibly get. Now, the judge might throw it out because he might deem it differently, but it's on the books. I say that is crazy. That is crazy. I think
because
that's an abuse of a 911 call.
It is. But until the citizens get aggravated enough to start holding their city council accountable, work with that police department. See, in this particular instance, the police department is not your enemy. Just a little
right.
bit of research. How many 911 calls did we answer in our department last year? How many of them were legit? What's the average time spent on a 911 call? Now, you take that average time, break it down into hours, multiply it by the average salary an officer makes. That'll tell you how much of your tax dollars were wasted. It's that simple.
Mm.
City council people didn't go a job for you. Now you got something to do. Since nobody else want to come and tell you, you heard it here because I know you're listening. There you go. Take the average amount of 911 calls last year, break it down into hours, multiply that by two of whatever officers made, because two of us go for here on every 911 call. That'll tell you how much your tax dollars were wasted. Cat in the tree.
Right.
Loud music.
Mm.
I can't sleep. Come get my kids. Y'all just come and get them. That was fairly regular, too. Come get him. He won't listen to me. He won't go to bed. Y'all come get him. Do something with him. 911. Let's go on and tell all of them. Let's go on and put it out there.
Right.
See, we're going to deal with the other issue, the permit patties and all of them, but by the same way, it's like I said, officers are silent about a lot of things, and 911 is one of them. That it is extremely frustrating. Because if we run over somebody going 70 miles an hour, the first thing they're going to say is, well, when you got there, there wasn't a burglary. You didn't need to go that fast. Well, I didn't know that going there. Because as soon as the lawsuits come out, the first thing they're going to do is find a way to put you on an island by yourself.
Mm.
That's fact. That's hard fact. 911 is good. It was meant for good things, but it's been hijacked by lazy folks. And it's time to get it put. Go to your city council. Get an ordinance put in place. Let the citizens vote on the fine amount. $25 first time, $50 second time. The officer writes the ticket. If the officer goes there and feels that it's not a valid 911, it's no different than when I go there and write you a ticket for running a stop sign. If you don't like it, you think I did the wrong thing, well, then take me to court. And then when we get in court, I'll say, that was a bullshit 911 call. You can go, well, no, it was valid because I'm scared of pelicans. Whatever the case may be, let the judge decide. Pay the court clerk on the way out.
Mm.
Because cities are spending a ton of money on bogus 911 calls. And people like these permit patties and all these other people, it'll check them. I bet you they'll think twice about it then. And then you make the third time and they get three in a year. Let them do 3 months on that third one. Go and put them in the county jail. Let them do 3 months, 30 days. Make them at least do some time on that third one. I bet that it'll change that. 911 will go back to what 911 used to be for.
Mm.
Used to be. And all
you know,
of you that...
I'm thinking, now that you said something, I'm thinking that it seems like most of the population don't even know that there's a problem with bogus and frivolous 911 calls.
Yes, yeah.
No, they don't, brother, because we don't, as the police, we don't put it out there. We don't really say, you know, tell people how bad it is, and that's what we're doing today. I'm going to get this other caller in here real quick, 254 area code 3916, good morning. You're behind the blue curtain.
Hey, Stan.
What's going on?
Not much.
Oh, God.
I will say one thing. You have officers that'll sit there and tell you to call 911, even though it's not an emergency, like you're having an issue with your children. But also, when you call the regular number, they'll tell you, we can't correct your child. When we're calling them because there's mental issues involved.
Right. If it's mental issues or something like that, then, you know, yeah, they should come out to that, whether it's on the regular number or on the 911 number. But if it's
really
an issue that we can't handle on the regular, I would come out and tell you on 911. I'd just get there a little quicker and tell you, you know, that's not a police issue. But there are some things in the mental health system, like we did a show on that a couple of weeks ago, that we can't intervene in. For the police, it's very specific when we can get involved, at least here in Texas, when we can get involved in it. And that whole mental health thing is a big conundrum in Texas. They basically got dropped on the police, and we are not mental health professionals. And I'll be the first one to say it. We don't have the slightest idea sometimes of whether we're dealing with bipolar, depression, schizophrenia, drug addiction. We don't know. Autism. A lot of times we like to remain silent and act like we're getting it right, but we're not trained mental health professionals.
Right.
And I think that has given the citizens a false expectation that we can diagnose these things because people are going to react to us how they see us react.
Right.
And sometimes our profession is not willing to say we don't have the answers. We don't know. And that's one thing we got to be able to do.
I agree. But when you're calling out because there's a mental issue and the child needs to go to be evaluated, you have officers, mm-hmm. We can't control your child. And I'm like, hey, I have no problems controlling my child. But when they're of age and they're refusing to take their medication, we can't, our hands are tied too.
Yeah, here in Texas, you can get the crisis team that can come out and help. I mean, if I work 10 hours a night. If I'm not with you, I'm going to be at somebody else's problem. If I got to come out there, not an emergency, but I get out there, and I got to call a mental health team out there to come out and evaluate or do an on-site check or whatever, then we do what we got to do. I'm getting paid the same amount of money.
Right.
You know what I mean? And policing is like anything else. There's some people that are really good at it. There's some people that aren't. And we all have our good and bad days.
And I'm going to tell you now, I have respect for the officers because the ones that I've had to deal with on this situation, they've been real good with us except for the one.
Well, there's always the one. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't call from the one, call back. Our phones work. And like I said, if officers get bent out of shape, we're getting paid 10 hours. You know, sometimes you got to come back and say to another officer, hey, what did you do when you went over there the first time? What's going on over there? Why am I getting called over there now? Well, this is the deal, blah, 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 blah. Well, then now when I come to see you, I know what not to do because I know it didn't work. And now I can formulate something that's going to help us solve your problem. See, we're not talking about law enforcement right now. We're talking about problem solving, which is where I think policing needs to do more of.
I agree.
Not just saying, oh, we're not incarcerating. We can't write a ticket, so we're going to be done with this. You don't have nobody else to turn to. If you did, you wouldn't be calling us.
Well, let's put it this way. There was one time I called out, and two of your officers knew all about the situation before they got to my house, and they said, we're through. You're gone. And they took her to jail.
Was it JDC or jail?
It was jail.
Okay, so we're talking about an adult.
We were talking 17 at the time.
Oh, well, see, 17, well, you're in Texas. Welcome to jail age. Welcome to jail
exactly.
age. It gets real, real, real quick. And it's, you know, a lot of those type of situations, unless you've got a severe mental deficiency and you know, but a lot of these people who want to take advantage of their parents, the parents say, what am I going to do with them? Put them out.
Yeah, but
let them go sleep there.
Isn't there a law that if there is mental illness involved, you cannot kick them out?
That I don't know about, so I'm not going to say what I don't know. I mean, if you're the guardians, of course, with most parents, they're not going to do that if you get a situation where they know the child or the young adult can't fend for themselves out there. Because we do have some out there that are sad cases. They are seriously mentally ill, and they're out there right here in this town.
Right.
Homeless and helpless, and, you know, we tend to get a lot of these calls during the holiday season when it gets cold. That's when we get, you know, most of these type of calls. So I know it's frustrating for you. But if any time, if an officer ever comes and tells you there's nothing I can do, call down there and ask for another one to come.
I just asked for a supervisor.
That'll work, too.
Also, we've had an incident where the child wouldn't even mind, and because it was like 34 outside and the way she was dressed, the sergeant made me take her in my house.
For how long? Just immediately?
No, he wanted her to stay here, and I'm like, you're violating my rights because you're making me take somebody that's not even mine. Now, if she wants to call a relative to come and get her, that's fine. She can stay here until they come. But if you're talking about me keep, you know, me taking custody over, that ain't going to happen.
I hear that. I hear that. It's hard enough out here.
Especially when you're already dealing with mental illness.
Well, you know, and in fact, you know, I'm glad you really brought that up because the mental illness is another significant part of our 911 calls. We have a lot of people who are frequent flyers, is what we call them. And when it's raining or it's very cold or they're out of drugs, they'll call 911 and politically correctly say everything to get us to respond, to go through the whole, you know, hospital thing, and, you know, so they have a place to stay. That's sad. They don't have a choice. They don't have food. They're hungry or they're coming off of drug addiction. So this whole thing is a big conundrum. And
mm-hmm.
The emergency rooms are paying for it, the police are paying for it, and taxpayers are ultimately paying for it.
Right.
You know, it's just one of these things. But, I, you know, I'm just a firm believer that a lot of these issues rest at the ballot box, not the Republican ballot box and not the Democrat ballot box, because, like, I'm quick to say, I don't give a damn about neither one of them. Because I've suffered under both of them in there. But the thing is, until we take these issues and put them before our city councils or put them before our mayors or put them before our governors and say we need to get 911 in our state under control. We need to start finding people. Make parents be parents. And then let parents be parents.
And that's the problem today is you've got the government controlling the parents. Like you just said about that or the person at school.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'll tell my kids, you want the phone number? Let me dial it for you because if you're in my house, you're following my rules.
You know, for those of us that are 50 and over, if my parents called me and I said, yeah, huh, or what from the next room, I got toe up from the flow up. Period. Point blank.
They would not make it. The kids today would not make it back in the 70s,
oh, no,
80s,
no.
Or even before that.
No. I had ADD one time. I had ADD for about 5 minutes. And my dad went out there in the kitchen, and he got that prescription off that towel hanger where my mom used to hang the dish rags. About 10 minutes worth of surgery, that ADD was gone. I ain't have it no more.
I'm telling you.
My dad wore the prescription around his waist, and it worked.
I remember going out and getting switches off the Formosa tree. I wasn't abused, but I knew right from wrong, and I wasn't making the mistakes again.
Well, I'm glad I came in the time I came in because if I was out here now today, I'll tell you what, the way the system is, they're just feeding these kids in the jail. And it's not
that's
a color
all
thing. All of them beds don't care what color you are when you get in there. They're just feeding them. The parents are handcuffed. The 911 system is a travesty of injustice. The officers are getting put on the chopping blocks behind BS 911 calls. Good people are dying. People aren't getting medical attention because of frivolous 911 calls. And it's like I said earlier now, everybody needs to remember, I go to these calls and I've seen black folks call 911 on black folks for no reason. Just nobody records that. White folks call on white folks. Nobody records that. So it's a problem
hey,
across
Stan.
The board. Yes, sir.
Stan, there's an echo, a bad echo when you're talking.
Yeah, that's one of the callers got the background I guess they got the live playing in the background and it's echoing back across. That was the background. But go ahead, weigh in here, Ty.
I was just going to say it is a tragedy how systemically the 911 system, like everything else, it seems like we get our hands on, and ends up becoming abused, excessive use of it. It's like it's not a toy, but unfortunately, many in the society is doing that. So, as you put it so eloquently, that this is the quickest way they get a police officer to their form of, let's say, because of their fears, their personal fears and or anxieties and insecurities and prejudices and all the other stuff that's wrapped up in their head that creates this, I guess, futuristic event that's going to happen. They're like screenwriters or something, I guess, would you say, movie directors, and they think something about ready to happen based on their own personal, again, fears, insecurities, prejudices, and certain things going on in their lives, including probably the biggest one, anger. Something's going on. So that underlying current, once again, is anger. And anger is one letter away from danger. And they're always doing this PTSD. And I ain't talking about post-traumatic stresses, though. I'm talking about post-traumatic screen diversion and distraction that bring people in their head. They're going to scream out wolf. It's like the person crying wolf, but they're actually the wolves themselves. They're going to play the victim. And by them using and abusing this 911 system, now they open up the can of not just worms, but snakes for a whole lot of other people to get bit, starting with that officer that has to respond to these felonious so-called 911 emergency calls that are not emergencies. Also, other people at large, people in the public who might be walking or driving, like you said, that officer can be getting an accident flying over there to attend or to address this call that came in felonious with a, because in their minds, I'm just using as an example, there's a group of kids and I think they got guns. So there's a, let me just call it in, like, I think they got, and like you said, once you hear that word gun, then you go back, it's like, who's writing the script? You know, what is the perception in this person? There's a lot of scared people out here today, you know, and they want something to happen, or they're perceiving something, or I guess they must be prophets now when it comes to something bad going to happen. So let me be the savior, let me be the mediator, and let me stop this before it happens. So let me call the police, because I got some people in the neighborhood I never seen before. As Gus said, he's out there just working. And again, their fears. So and it's so sad because I think in their minds they want their fears to be confirmed to the fact that they are not no longer fears, but they are facts.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
It comes to find out they're not facts. So you end up.
And the media don't help.
But
the media does not help.
It starts within the person. There's a lot of scared people. They playing like they tough. They playing like they have this faith and they got all this courage and all that. But like you said, get a dog, get an alarm system, get some cameras, get some backup other than 911 every time you think something might be going on. So I think it's just, I know it's a tragedy. Because we do everything, like as a society, we are excessive with everything we get. We're abusive with whatever we get. You know, so it's got to be some kind of checks and balances. So I'm in total agreement with putting some type of ordinance in these cities, in these towns that are doing this, so that the taxpayers don't get hit over the head and that police officers are not being put in harm's way over something that in the minds of a person is some potential harm getting ready to happen. So I'm in total agreement, man. It's just so sad that the energy levels are being driven by fear, scared.
Well,
while
you
know, observe.
Yeah, it's fear and scared, but, you know, you got these people that are secure called politicians. I got to keep going back to that because until we bring this issue to the forefront in our local governments and say we want a city ordinance governing these 911 calls, because as taxpayers, we're sick and tired of seeing our money wasted. Maybe the state will then pass a state law. But that is the answer. That is absolutely the first step, because that's a place where you can see now how many people, we can all post on Facebook all these backstage Becky and all this crap, but when it comes time to now sit down in a meeting and call for an ordinance, let's see how many of those people show up. Then of those, let's see how many people will vote. Let's see who will keep that heat on the council person. See, that's when we get to the solution phase of this. I don't care what's going on in Baltimore. I don't care what's going on in Dallas. But in my city, if this is an issue here, then the citizens need to be down there at the city council. Or bring the city councilman to your neighborhood meeting and say, when are we going to do an ordinance for this? We're getting sick of this. Because it has gotten so bad, folks are using the police in this country as personal attack dogs. And the officers on the street can't say anything about it. Because the policies in these departments is you go to 911 calls, no matter how ridiculous you go. A UFO landed and 12 little Martians got out, you go to that call. That dispatcher has no choice but to put that call in. And then when you get sued on the back end, the attorney's going to go, don't y'all have enough sense to know that this probably wasn't real? You could have knocked it down to a lower status but still gone. Especially when it's somebody you go to every week that calls in with the same nonsense. And the young lady was right. The media, media is about ratings.
They report the negative and not the positive. What feeds the fear of the communities.
Sure, but then the disenfranchised communities, like I keep saying, this should be on the ballot. We're talking about elections coming up and all the big runoffs, the midterms. Why isn't any? I haven't heard one city across America, not a one. Is there anything on the ballot, or is there anything out there on 911 reform, a local ordinance? Doesn't matter what the rest of your state does. Your city can do an ordinance here. This is what we're gonna do. Period. We're gonna start getting in that wallet. For the nonsense. And then what do you do with those fines? Earmark those fines to go to mental health in your city. Earmark those fines to go to the homeless. No, they don't go into the police coffers or the city coffers. Earmark that money that you're going to make off these BS 911 calls and send that to a worthy cause. The homeless shelter. The battered women's shelter. So that way when somebody wants to complain about your revenue shopping, you can go, no, you know what? You're paying for orphans, widows, and people that are mentally challenged to be able to have a good night. Every time you call 911, somebody with real problems out here is thanking you when you call on some craziness. Don't let the city get the money and control it and do what they want to do with it. Earmark it to a charity or a local 501. Give it to them.
No, it needs to go to mental health. There's not enough mental health in some of these cities.
Well, you're right there. There's not enough mental health in this country. I think we all see that, but you're right. And that's because the mental health system is mismanaged, and you got the veterans who were lied to, and they went to Afghanistan and Iraq and did their time and upheld their end of the bargain. They came out here and everybody dropped the ball on their mental health, so you mix them in with the people that already have mental health and drug addiction and the opioid addiction. We got a conundrum, and I feel sorry for those poor doctors in the emergency rooms because that's the first stop. That's
9 times out of 10, yes.
In the emergency room.
And it also ties up the...
Uh-oh. That was quick. Well, we're about to wind it down. We're getting down to the barbershop section, the round section, where I'm going to go down through, and everybody that called in, you're going to get a chance to go 1 minute on any topic you want. It doesn't have to be this topic. Anything you want to talk about, we're going to go right down the line. If anybody wants to get in, 646-716-4621, press 1. and we're going to get you in. Gus, we're going to start with you in the 804. 1 minute, brother. Any topic you want, anything you want to talk about.
All right. Well, I think just I want to say first that there was a great show and a great topic, and you know it needs to be said. Now with that said, the question: how do we move forward from here? As you were talking to the lady that was on, I was doing some research on my end on the computer. I was doing some research, and I can call my representative now. Matter of fact, I'm gonna leave a message when I finish talking to you. In regards to a 911 reform here, and suggest some things, and they typically call you back in the city council here. They will call you back, man, because if it's something on the citizenry's mind, they will call you back. But I think that when you came up with this topic, man, it was good, because there's definitely an issue. It's definitely an issue, and we need to do something about it, especially in a city that's cash-strapped like the city of Virginia. I mean, Richmond, they're cash strapped because most of the officers, man, saying they're leaving to go in the surrounding suburbs because of money. They're leaving, and they have a shortage of officers now. And that's the main reason. It's money. So, you know, and then it's getting stretched thin while they're going to different calls. And so right now, you know, that's even making it more, you know, dangerous for them. They're already short of personnel. And then to top it off, they got to go on frivolous calls. So, you know, while you were talking, I was doing some research, so I'm gonna submit my numbers to my council member, and then I'm gonna let you know the results of what happened and what came of it. But have a great day, man, and thanks for the show.
Keep it posted, Gus. Definitely keep me posted on that, because I'm curious. Because like I said, on here we're gonna get to the solution eventually. Once we get through our heated and release our feelings, I just happen to think that the solution to this is an ordinance. Until you start lighting people's wallets up, they're going to keep doing this stupid stuff. And by no means, don't threaten these people on Facebook, you know. But by all means, if you find out who they are and you post their identity up there, you know, not for people to troll and threaten them, but let some of these employers see who they are. And then when they don't have a job, you know, they'll think about it next time. But I appreciate you as always, Gus. Appreciate you, big brother. We're going to drop down to the 254, my local caller. You got 1 minute. Anything in the world you want to talk about?
Community policing. Get it back like it was.
There you go. You remember that, huh?
I sure do.
And you know,
and
it's one thing to harp on.
It doesn't need to be in the low income. I mean, we're talking about citywide. That way, they know, because the officers came out, they're not afraid to get in my girl's butt, because they know I'm not calling unless it's to the point of a danger.
Right. But, you know, we got the younger breed right now that's coming out. You know, this younger breed of officer in today's policing is the breed that grew up watching Cops. And you've seen Cops come on. Lights and sirens,
yep,
and dogs barking and running and chasing and fighting and tasing and never conversation and talking and sitting down in community meetings. So you got a generation out here right now that grew up watching that, and they go, ooh, I want to do that. And that's just what they're doing. There's a time and place for that.
I agree.
That's the rule. That's not the rule of practice. And until officers figure out that you know, we need the community. Really, when you think about it, a lot more of the community needs us, because every arrest you make, guess what? Those 12 people that sit on that jury, guess where they come from? And if they don't like you, you'll never win a case.
Exactly.
And if they won't talk to you, you'll never make a case.
I mean, I know a lot of the police officers did the Explore program and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, I know you personally. But it's officers like you that need to be on the streets, not the gung-ho ones that think they can take care of business and not really pay attention to what's going on. Like I said, that one officer did not know everything. He just jumped up and says, well, I can't control your child. And I was like, well, you know what? I have no problems controlling him. Turn your back and don't let me see it, and I'll whoop a butt. But that's not the situation at hand. And, yes, she ended up going to a mental institution.
You know, just one moment, very bad comment. You know, and not coming back the next day and going, hey, ma'am, you know, I came out. Do you remember me? Yeah, I came out last night on your call. Yeah, you know what? I was kind of short with you last night, and maybe it's because I worked a bad wreck before I came out here. My mom was still over there or whatever the case may be. Now, you're going to gain so much trust with that person when you come back and go, you know what? Because I think people want to see police officers that are human first and blue second.
Police officers are standing behind the citizens and the parents. Also works wonders, too, because if a police officer does not stand behind the parent's not going to call them when the child does break the law.
Yes,
because
ma'am,
they feel let down.
But the key to that is you got to have a police administration that allows its officers to be truthful with the public. Because when you're truthful with the public, that means sometimes you got to call out the bad police behavior. And that rubs police officers the wrong way, I can tell you firsthand from experience. And when their feelings get hurt, look out.
Oh, I know.
And that's,
I know,
the community can love you to death, but you can be despised by some of the same people who can't see that we work for the community. We don't work for each other in there. We work with each other in the police department, but we work for the community.
I've been real fortunate with the officers I've had to deal with, except for one or two. So, as far as the city of Waco, there are some good officers.
Right.
And I've had the pleasure of meeting some. So, that's all I'm going to say is they need to get back into community policing when the crimes really started going down, because the officers were being more involved and knowing who belonged in the communities and who didn't. And we didn't have to call in because they stopped it.
Yep, we already knew.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate you calling in and being a part. You know, come on and be a regular fixture. Appreciate you. Share us and let everybody know. If they want to be heard, this is the place where they can come do it.
I will.
All right, you have to.
And you take it easy.
I will. And holler at me when you see me.
I will. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right, Todd. 2 minutes, brother. Take us on out. All right, Tyrone.
I'm here. I was just trying to gather. I mean, they pretty much said it all, I think. But in reverse, what the lady just said about community policing, the community got to start get back into policing their community. So it's less calls to the police department. You know, it's about doing things in your own community, being responsible for your neighborhood, being responsible for what goes down in a lot of cases. I mean, when stuff is out of your hand, of course, then you have to call law enforcement. But, I mean, when you're talking about community policing, what about policing our community? Those who live there, and stop letting a lot of the stuff that goes on occur, then it gets so out of hand, then we want to call. But I mean, let's put out the brush fires before they turn into 5 alarm fires where you have to call. And what Gus said was very critical, you need to do that everywhere. But as you said, that officers really don't talk about it, but as you explained it, it's, you know, I never thought of it on that level. Of course, I'm not a police officer, but now that you've enlightened us more so, because you are vocal, you are courageous, and you're not scared to say what's on your mind and in your heart and what's right for the better whole, not just for the officers, but the community at large, this is why this thing was brought up, and I thank you for doing that, because it just shed more light on this 911 thing, and which I never looked at it from that perspective. But I would say to our people, when I say our people, human beings, whatever fears and anxieties and prejudice, you got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do on ourselves. And we can't think that the guys in the blue with the shields and with the tasers and the guns can solve all our problems, and they're the ones to call. Let's be a little bit more proactive in our own lives and do what we need to do to correct things before then. Be proactive in life. And stop being reactive to the point where, as you said, when that 911 call comes in, that's a mayday call. That's a cry for help. That's a potentially life or death situation in the minds of law enforcement. So people, be mindful of that. Let's not exhaust our limited resources that we have already because of our fears. Thank you, Stan.
All right, brother. See, I can't even add nothing to that. Just to let everybody know, we're here every Saturday morning, 10 a.m., behind the blue curtain. You know, we're self-funded. We're not tied to no groups, and we keep it real here. And this is where you can call up just like my local caller did, and you can just say how you feel and let the world hear, you know, what you want to say and how you feel. You know, you can find me on Facebook. You can also find me at stanmason.com. That's the website. The only way you can't see me on Facebook is if I block you. And those of you that are blocked, you know who you are, and you know why. But you can, you know, my Facebook page is totally open. So unless you're blocked, you can come on there. You don't see any more with a friend request than you see without it. So, you know, go ahead and share anything I got up there. You can also go to the YouTube channel. Everything's accessible through the webpage. You guys, it's 100%. If you get any show ideas, something you'd like to talk about, then shoot me a message. But then you're going to be the co-host. See, I'm not going to do all your legwork for you. If it's important enough for you and you can say, hey, this is an issue, this needs to be talked about, not political, something law enforcement, public safety oriented, then we're going to go ahead and get on it, and then you're going to get to be the co-host on that show. So that's how we're going to do that. So I'm going to get out of here, get me some sleep early because I'm still up from last night. You guys, appreciate everybody that tuned in. Love you guys. Thanks, everybody, for supporting me. To the haters, thanks for viewing all the videos because you're giving me likes, you're giving me views, and I appreciate the love that you're showing me unintentionally, but nevertheless, I'll take it. I'll holler at y'all next week. Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.